And we are live here on the Fantrax YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, MySpace, everywhere that you can view a podcast here. My name is Nick Scrip. I'm the NFL content lead for Fantrax and still getting after talking fantasy football all year round. I've been doing more and more for Fantrax. If you see graphics on their socials, that's typically stuff I'm doing. And I try to make as much video content still as possible for fantasy football. It's all dynasty fantasy football for me right now. I'll get into prospect stuff a little bit later than everybody else, probably closer to the NFL draft. But I feel like that's more of when you want to pay attention to stuff, in all honesty. But power, you know, hats off to the people that are getting after that right now. Talking dynasty fantasy football buy lows. We'll talk about what that actually means and the guys that I want to reference here in a second. Tell your friends we're live. All right, so we're talking dynasty buy lows, and we want to define what we mean by buy low. So right now, for me, that means these players have a dip in their value, most likely due to the 2023 season, or they don't just cost too much in dynasty in general. Now, you know, some of the guys on the list are more expensive to trade for than others, and you might say, you know, like one of the first guys I mentioned is going to be Drake London. You might say, hey, he's not going for cheap in my league, but my counter would be now's the time to try to buy before his value increases later. So I believe, you know, when we look at these buy lows, a good definition is the value now is lower than the value can be later. And for this specific list, I'm saying, I think right now at this point in given time, the value is lower than what it will be. Starting off with Drake London on the list here, 8th overall pick back in 2022, averaged 11 receptions, 135.5 receiving yards per game in his final season at USC. Started as a freshman back when Amon-Ra St. Brown and Michael Pittman Jr. were on the team. So he's had a very good resume coming into the league. You look at the situation, 7th least team passing attempts in 2023, 2nd least in 2022. So you look at the Falcons, not a lot of volume through the air, not a lot of, you know, making sure the playmakers make plays and are given the ball and set up to be successful. In 2022, 117 targets, 72 catches, 866 receiving yards as a rookie. He ranked 5th in target share. That's the big stat that everybody talks about from his rookie season. Top 12 in yards per route run, games of 86, 95, 96, 120 receiving yards, 6 weeks at 14 plus fantasy points. 2023, Desmond Ridder was benched more than once. 101 targets, 65 catches, 864 receiving yards, and only 2 touchdowns through 15 games. But here's the thing with Drake London. When he was given volume, he produced. So it's almost like when you give a good player the football or more opportunities to make plays, they make plays. So here's some examples of that. 8 targets in week 2. He caught 6 for 67 yards and a touchdown, 18.7 fantasy points. 9 targets in week 5, caught 6 for 78 yards and 14.7 fantasy points. 12 targets in week 6, caught 9 for 125 receiving yards and 21.5 fantasy points. 11 targets in week 14, he caught 10 for 172 yards, 29.2 fantasy points. So again, you give the guy opportunities, he makes the most of them, and that's just not been consistent. And that's not always a knock on the player, right? Atlanta will address the quarterback position. I know the hesitation in the past was trusting Arthur Smith. He is gone, right? So that's a big boost for Drake London, for Kyle Pitts, for Bijan Robinson moving forward. So I think with better quarterback play, I think with hopefully a head coach that is going to address not getting their playmakers the ball more often, will come more passing volume and more opportunities. So, you know, in dynasty fantasy football, you bank on talented players. Drake London is very talented. His price today versus what I believe his price will be after the 2024 season is going to be vastly different. Another guy that comes to mind is Javonte Williams, 2021 second round selection out of UNC. Second season in college, he rushed for 933 yards and 5 touchdowns in 13 games. He upped those totals in two less games to 1,140 yards and 19 touchdowns in that final college season. 50 career college receptions on top of that. Rookie season, 903 rushing yards, 7 total touchdowns, 40 catches, 2 games over 100 rushing yards, 4 weeks finishing as a top 10 fantasy running back, 3 weeks over 20 fantasy points. Most of that happened after the week 11 bye. Player Profiler ranked him 6th in evaded tackles and 6th in yards created that season, 12.1 points per game, ranked 22nd for running backs. Year 2 for Javonte Williams, we were excited for this potential jump in his production. He opened up the season with a top 12 finish with 19.8 fantasy points. Then in week 4, he unfortunately tore his ACL. So we were unsure of the timeline for 2023. Is he going to open up the season on the IR? Is he going to miss time, or is he going to be, you know, significantly limited on snaps? We were not sure what that was going to look like. First 6 weeks, he played under 50% of the snaps in 5 of them. He missed a game. Solid flashes this year with low expectations, though. We had, you know, I think people will say, well, like, look at Breece Hall and what he did for fantasy football. All credit to Breece Hall and what he did this year. But, you know, ACLs are not typically that way following a year that you tear it. 15 attempts for 82 yards week 7, 85 yards on the ground the very next game, 79 rushing yards in week 10, 47 catches on the year. I think that's a solid mark to note there. I think a lot of people thought Samaje Perine was going to be a huge pass catcher all year, but Javonte getting 47 catches, I think that's a good sign. 4 top 12 finishes. I think he's going to be further and further away from that ACL tear come 2024. This is a guy who is built like a true every down running back. He evades tackles. He breaks tackles. He's part of the passing game. I think when you look at the makeup of a workhorse running back, I think Javonte Williams checks a lot of those boxes. I think Denver's going to continue to shape their roster moving forward. Javonte Williams, to me, is going to be a huge piece of that. And he's a young running back at the end of the day. So I'm very in on trying to buy low on Javonte Williams. Tight end position, Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer, I want to talk about him. I've seen some other people talk about him as a buy low as well. I'm not the first guy that's going to say it, but really nice resume out of college at Notre Dame. 3 seasons. He had 180 receptions, 2,099 receiving yards, 18 touchdowns. In his final 2 seasons, 71 and 67 receptions, both seasons over 800 receiving yards, 6'4", 265 build. He's profiled as an NFL-ready blocker coming into the league. Opened up the season as a tight end 2 behind veteran Austin Hooper. Eventually would turn into the team's tight end 1. He played 80% plus of the snaps in 7 games this season. 3 weeks as a top 10 fantasy tight end. He showed some flashes. Week 5, 5 catches for 75 yards. That's good. Week 10, 3 catches for 19 and a touchdown. Week 15, 4 catches for 39 and a touchdown. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo dealt with injuries and eventually was benched for 4th round rookie Aiden O'Connell, who, in my opinion, did not do anything to solidify his job in 2024. So I think that the Raiders are going to be in the market for a quarterback. I think Michael Mayer is a guy that can take a nice year 2 jump in the league that will translate to fantasy football. I think a lot of people don't want to admit it, and I think a lot of people forget, but before people were talking about Sam Laporta, before people were talking about Dalton Kincaid, Michael Mayer was a lot of people's tight end 1 in this draft class, and a lot of people expected him to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft this past season. It didn't happen, you know, in either one of those cases. Things change, which you expect those things to change. And Sam Laporta and Dalton Kincaid were great for fantasy football this year. But when a guy's got a good resume, he's built, he's NFL built to be both a pass catcher and a blocker, I think there's a lot to be had in his stock moving forward. So right now, did he do anything like Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid in his first year? No. Do I think that there's the potential that he could be a top 12 tight end? Absolutely, for Michael Mayer. And I think people forget about how, you know, we viewed him before the NFL draft. You know, at one point he was the clear-cut tight end 1. I think he has a lot of room to grow in fantasy football. And I think right now is a great time to buy low on Michael Mayer. Another rookie I want to mention, and again, you'll say he's not cheap in my dynasty fantasy football league, but I'll say in response to that, he didn't do anything to significantly increase his valuation in dynasty is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Do I think if you were to look at dynasty rankings before the season versus after on guys like Zay Flowers and Puka Nacua, Jordan Addison, do I think they took a big jump in dynasty for their value? Absolutely, following the 2023 season. Do I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba was probably ranked higher before this season than he is now for dynasty fantasy football for a lot of people? I think that could be the case because he didn't do anything wildly effective for fantasy football year one. I think a lot of us still believe in the talent, but again, value today versus value tomorrow is different. So I'm trying to buy on Jaxon Smith-Njigba right now. He only played in three games in his final season as a prospect at Ohio State, but he has, you know, he's known for that 2021 major season, 95 catches, 1606 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns in 13 games. Garrett Wilson played 11 and Chris Olave played 12 that season. JSN had at least 25 more receptions and 548 more receiving yards than both of those guys. And he only played one more game. So he was a lot more productive. And I think a lot of people say, you know, those guys were getting ready for the NFL and they didn't play a full season. Well, they didn't play a lot less than him that year. Possession slot wide receiver. There was concerns with his speed, but he smoked the three cone in the 20 yard shuttle drills at the combine, which can translate well to route running and just getting open in the NFL. Picked 20th by Seattle, first round, first wide receiver off the board in 2023. Rookie season opened up the season playing under 60% of the snaps the first 4 weeks, but there was a shift in snaps played following the week 5 bye. He played most of the games the rest of the season, somewhere in that 60% range, 60% to 69%. Some games over, but usually in that range. Here's some flashes. Week 7, 4 receptions for 63 yards and a touchdown. He scored the next week in week 8. Week 9, 6 catches for 63 yards. Week 13, 7 catches on 11 targets for 62 yards. Week 15, 4 receptions for 48 yards and a touchdown. Week 16, 6 receptions for 61 yards. According to Player Profiler, number 21 in yards after the catch. We've seen guys dominate from the slot in fantasy football. I think historically we've thought about high upside wide receivers, these guys that can make big plays down the field, the Justin Jeffersons and the AJ Browns, you know, explosive guys. But we've seen dominant slot wide receivers across the last handful of years. You look way back to Michael Thomas. You look over to Cooper Kupp. You look at Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jaxon Smith-Njigba could eventually enter that conversation as a dominant slot player. Number 6 in target separation, number 28 in total route wins, number 17 in route win rate. This is all, again, via Player Profiler for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Again, he didn't have the fantasy impacts of, you know, Rashee Rice or Jaden Reed or Zay Flowers or Puka Nacua. 93 targets as a rookie is a great start, though, especially seeing he was consistently competing for targets with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I mean, you can't really say the same for guys like, again, Jaden Reed or Rashee Rice. I mean, Rashee Rice had Travis Kelce, but, you know, even Zay Flowers when Mark Andrews was out, you know, they're not competing with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf every single week. He can certainly grow in this offense as an NFL player, and in general, eventually he might be the most reliable target in Seattle. Great buy now talent for Dynasty. I mentioned this today, and a lot of people might be out on what I'm going to say with the quarterback position, but Daniel Jones, you know, I went to keeptradecut.com to see where he was valued technically right now. QB 23. He's 26 years old. He had a bad season due to injuries and lack of performances, but 2022, he was very productive for fantasy football. So he tore his ACL, unfortunately, in November. No other structural damage noted. Due to injuries, Dimes played in just 4 full games. Week 2, he threw for 321 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. He rushed for 59 yards and scored a rushing touchdown. QB1 for fantasy that week. He looked very, I know it's a, I'm not saying he is this guy, and I'm not saying he's going to be this guy, but that was like a very like Josh Allen-like performance in week 2. Otherwise, there's a poor showing in the other 3 games. But back in 2022, with his first season under head coach Brian Daboll, Jones finished number 10 in fantasy points per game with 18.4. He threw for a career-high 3,205 passing yards, 15 passing touchdowns, which wasn't great, rushed for 708 yards, very good, and scored 7 rushing touchdowns. According to Spotrac, the Giants will rank 16th in cap space for 2024. What they do to improve or make that worse, we're not sure, but I think that they're somewhere in the middle when it comes to cap space. The Giants also had the 6th overall pick, which many mocks show that they go and grab Malik Nabers or Adunze to be selected. So, I mean, imagine if, you know, the Giants, you get Daniel Jones back, you have a now fully healthy Wandale Robinson, you got Darius Slayton out wide at times, Jalin Hyatt out wide at times, and then you go and draft a Malik Nabers. I mean, that could be a good boost for Daniel Jones. I don't know what they're going to do with Saquon Barkley. That's up for grabs, but I do think there is the potential to continue to shape this roster and be better on offense. He was given a 4-year, $160 million contract back in March of 2023. The Giants have verbalized that he is their guy, and they have the ability to keep building around their guy. So for a guy that, you know, a lot of people are so out on right now, Daniel Jones was extremely fantasy relevant in 2022, 2023, and he's shown some upside. And, you know, a lot of that was with his legs and following a torn ACL. Is he going to have a lot of upside in 2024 with his legs? That's, you know, not something I am a specialist on. We'll have to look at our injury specialists in the industry. But at 26 years old, quarterback one for the Giants, great buy low right now. I want to stack this buy low with a wide receiver on the same team. Wandale Robinson's been a guy that I've liked as a prospect. You know, you look at his profile, 104 receptions for 1,334 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns at Kentucky back in 2021 through 14 games. He then was a second-round draft pick in 2022 by the Giants. Rookie season, week 6 and 7, he finishes the wide receiver 29, wide receiver 35, so like a little bit of something there. Week 11, he was on his way to having his breakout game. He had 9 catches on 13 targets for 100 yards, 19.4 fantasy points. He didn't even play the whole game. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL in that specific breakout game. 2023, 78 targets and 15 games played following tearing his ACL late in 2022. Wandale trailed the Giants team lead by 1 target while playing 2 games less than Darius Slayton. So he played 2 games less, and by average, he should have been leading the Giants in targets this past season. 5 weeks of double-digit fantasy points. He heated up towards the end of the season, you know, scoring 17.5 in week 14, 19.9 in week 17. Slot wide receiver again that I'm talking about here. He was number 11 in slot snaps in 2023. He has a very volume-based profile coming in as a prospect. If you look at those prospect numbers I read off earlier, this guy is used to handling volume. You know, tearing his ACL late in 2022 and then having a big role in 2023, I think says a lot about Wandale Robinson. And you can say it's due to a lack of competition, but the guy just might be good at football. I truly think Wandale can lead the Giants in targets moving forward in the slot role for Daniel Jones. As of today, for me, he's the most talented wide receiver in the room. Again, can the Giants go and draft a Nabers? Sure, but I think that a guy like that would complement Wandale well at the end of the day. So I think Wandale Robinson's a guy I'm also looking at as a buy low. I'm going to put an asterisk next to this next one because his value likely went up because of the NFL playoffs. So maybe he's a guy that you wait a little bit for the value to go back down and come back to earth. But I do want to mention Khalil Shakir, who I've consistently said is a buy low for Dynasty for, I don't know, man, a few months now, at least. I think he's a guy I talked about even last year coming into the season, is somebody that could have a good role. And did he for this past season? Kind of, you know, and he did in the NFL playoffs, which says a lot. But if you look at the regular season, 6 catches for 92 yards, week 8 for 15.2 fantasy points, 3 catches for 115 yards and a touchdown for 20.5 fantasy points in week 11, 6 catches for 105 yards and 16.5 fantasy points in week 18. So if you look at those 3 examples, again, slot wide receiver we're talking about, that might, you know, it might just be the theme of this episode, slot wide receivers for half of it. But, you know, we think of a slot wide receiver as a low upside guy, but 92 receiving yards, 115 receiving yards, 105 receiving yards, those are good flashes. Then in the postseason for the Bills, Khalil Shakir, 3 receptions for 31 yards and a touchdown. That's in the wild card. Then in the divisional round, huge game, 7 catches on 9 targets for 44 yards and a touchdown. So 9 targets in the most important game of the season that Buffalo ended up losing, back-to-back playoff games with the touchdown. Josh Allen's had a history of utilizing the slot wide receiver. And you could say, you know, we look back to Cole Beasley back in the day. I know everybody doesn't like him, and I'm sure he gives everybody a reason not to just based on, you know, the dumb shit he says all the time. But Josh Allen has historically used the slot wide receiver, and a lot of people say, well, that's Dalton Kincaid now, and maybe that's the case, but I do see an opportunity for Khalil Shakir moving forward. You know, I think he's earning it more and more and more, and the playoffs should have been the red flashing lights for me. Gabe Davis will be a free agent. Does Buffalo bring him back? I don't see why they would, and if they don't, that frees up targets, and he's the guy that plays out wide, Shakir in the slot. But targets are targets at the end of the day, freed up. Stephon Diggs had a huge drop off, and who knows what his future is. But Khalil Shakir, let the playoff hype die down a little bit. Maybe he's a guy that you can use, you know, in it, you can add into a bigger trade as an add-on from the other manager. But he's a guy that I would take a shot on. Another guy that a lot of people will be totally against, but Treylon Burks, valued. I looked at keep trade cut 169 overall, you know, rookie season. First round draft capital in 2022, 54 targets. That's 4.9 per game through the games that he actually played. Number 32 in yards per reception, 13.5, and also number 32 in yards per route run. At again, two metrics that were in a smaller, 11 game sample size, and maybe they're not like top 10 or anything, but showed a little bit of something there. Three double digit fantasy weeks with a high of 18.1 in week 11. 2023 season, it's simple, struggled to stay on the field. 4 weeks of 11.5 yards per catch shows something. So sometimes you see an opportunity for a guy to be better and you see the potential to have a big role in the future and you look for like these little nitpicky things, but I'm just going to note it. You know, 11 games played both season doesn't help, but Tennessee did hire Brian Callahan as their next head coach, who was the Bengals offensive coordinator previously. So obviously Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd are talented wide receivers. They're good at football. But just knowing that, you know, they have talents and they were used effectively under Brian Callahan, I think is something to be optimistic about when it comes to the potential, I guess, of Treylon Burks. You know, Will Levis threw 28.3 times per game as a rookie, which is another potential sign of optimism that there's more passing volume to come. I think a dart throw on Burks, you know, that he stays healthy and he could be utilized to his skill set, could translate to fantasy football flex play. A clear opportunity to be the wide receiver too if DeAndre Hopkins remains in Tennessee. And in the event that they move on from Hopkins, maybe Treylon Burks could be the wide receiver one. So I'm not going to be spicy or crazy here with this guy's going to have a breakout crazy season and he's going to be top 12. I'm not saying that, you know, necessarily, but sometimes we look at low-cost wide receivers that, you know, can grow in value through time. And I think Treylon Burks still could be that guy. DeMario Douglas, another cheap, like super cheap guy. I don't see any reason why he would cost you a lot, you know, in a trade. And a lot of people will say, well, like, give me a price value. But if I say it would cost you the 301, you know, in your league, and you say, I don't even have a third, I don't even have a second, it would cost you this running back. Well, I don't have this running back. I understand to be actionable. And I'm hoping that this podcast helps you be actionable by making, you know, these moves for players, but sometimes I kind of struggle with the specifics of that. But I don't foresee, I think DeMario Douglas is probably a guy you can get for a third, maybe. I would think, you know, it depends on the depth of the league, but target volume is a rookie. 78 total targets through 14 games, 5.6 per game, 6 weeks of 7+ targets. He earned 14 more targets than any other Patriot in 2023. And again, that's through 14 games played. Playmaking, finished number 25 for the position in yards after the catch, 336. So maybe not a huge downfield threat guy, you know, a burner, but ball in his hands, he's making some plays. Fantasy flashes, 5 weeks of double-digit fantasy points. I think leading New England as a sixth-round rookie was very unexpected, right? None of us thought that coming into the season. He was probably a guy on dynasty waiver wires. But it says a lot about his role in year one. I'm not sure, you know, he's shown any signs of major upside, but if his playmaking ability turns into more yardage through time, that can change. Even if New England adds a wide receiver one this offseason, this wide receiver room on the current roster is very bad. So I think the fact that it's not very good and, you know, he has the opportunity to fight for a wide receiver two role says that he can have some potential flex value moving forward, and New England's going to be another team that addresses a quarterback position, or I think will, in this offseason. All right, Rashid Shaheed, another guy I want to mention here. When it comes to Rashid Shaheed, big play threat, and it's evident by the numbers. Number 10 in average depth of his target, that's 14.6. number 15 in deep targets at 24, number 35 in air yards with 1,094, number 17 in yards per target, 9.6, and number 15 in yards per reception, 15.6. That's all via Player Profiler. But all of those metrics just scream big play threat. Fantasy finishes and fantasy flashes, I mean. Week 1, 19 points, wide receiver 12. Week 6, 18.3 points, wide receiver 12. Week 8, 24.3 points, wide receiver 8. Week 16, 18.4 points, wide receiver 17. Week 18, 15.5 points, wide receiver 23. Those are all very, very useful fantasy scores for a guy that you could have just thrown in as your flex, and it would have benefited you a lot in those specific weeks. Receiving yard upside, week 1, 89 yards. Week 2, 63 yards. Week 6, 85 yards. Week 8, 153 yards. Week 16, 70 yards. Week 18, 65 yards. So again, Rashid Shaheed, big play threat with upside in the receiving yard department. He may not have been extremely consistent, but he was, again, a dart throw just to, if you were chasing a matchup or if you needed an upside flex play. Should Shaheed continue to grow and earn targets more consistently, I say this all the time, then, you know, you're giving the big play guy more opportunities to make big plays. And Derek Carr, love him or hate him, likes to push the ball down the field. That can translate well to Shaheed moving forward. And again, not a guy that should cost you, you know, an arm and a leg. Last guy I'm going to mention, just a guy that I firmly believed in, again, as a prospect. And that's another common theme in this podcast here is that, you know, I think you have to buy talent in Dynasty. And I know that that's something that everybody could argue. You might say a guy's talented, and I'll argue I don't think he is. And I might say I think a guy's very talented, and you might say, well, I watched the tape, and I don't think so. It's I think talent is going to be what people view as talent is different person to person at the end of the day. So when I've talked about a lot of these guys on the podcast today or on the stream, I've talked about guys that I buy into the talent. And when you buy into talent, you have to find the supporting facts. And that's what I've been trying to do on this podcast, this episode, the stream is, hey, I like Drake London's talent, but here's some numbers that support it. Here's the change in potential opportunity. I like Wandale Robinson's talent. Here's some good things we've seen. Here's the opportunity. You know, again, on this next guy, I like Jahan Dotson's talent. Here's some supporting facts. So love them as a prospect. Final season at Penn State, he ranked number 12 in receptions with 91, number 18 in receiving yards with 1,182, and tied for number 8 in receiving touchdowns with 12 in college football. Utilizing the 16th overall pick, the Commanders went and grabbed Jahan Dotson that specific year. I think that just says how they felt about him as a prospect. I think a lot of people look at Jahan Dotson, and if you survey people right now, I bet you a lot of people forgot he was a first-round draft pick. Rookie season in 2022, Dotson averaged 10.9 fantasy points per game across 12 games played. But if you look strictly at the games that he played, 70% plus of the snaps. So again, 70% plus of the snaps, he averaged 14.03 fantasy points per game, which was guided by some touchdown scoring. You know, that was evident, 0.75 touchdowns through those 8 games averaged. 523 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns in 12 games was a decent rookie campaign while he dealt with some injuries. You know, this is a guy that 4.43 speed, catch and run abilities, volume profiler, zone beater, great hands. He's a good talent. 2023, extremely disappointing. I'd label him as a bust. I'm not saying he was going, you know, as a third round pick, but I'd label him as a bust. Played in 5 more games, but he averaged less fantasy points per game with 7.3. 83 targets, ranked number 49. Not good. You know, versus expectations, I thought he could have been a 100-target guy. 518 receiving yards was 5 less than his rookie season, with, again, him playing in 5 more games. He had also 3 less touchdowns. Week 8 and 9, he finishes the wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 9, and that was, like, giving us a little bit of hope. Like, hey, you know what? This is the guy we thought he was, you know, a touchdown in back-to-back games those weeks. 108 and 69 receiving yards, 18 targets. Didn't amount to much outside of that. So Washington fired Ron Rivera. More changes to come as they shape their team. Sam Howell finished with 3,945 passing yards and 21 passing touchdowns. Player Profiler did rank him number 1 in interceptable passes, though. So a lot of people believe that Washington is going to move on from Sam Howell. I think there's a chance that they give him a second shot, especially with a change in coaching, but I guess we'll see. Washington is often mocked to draft Drake May at the number two spot, or, you know, they can trade up with Chicago, my Bears, for Caleb Williams. So I think there's a chance, you know, you got Jaden Daniels too in the draft. I think there's a chance that they go and grab a top three quarterback, and that could be a boost for this offense. A coaching change could be a boost for this offense. It was a bad year, so a bad year should be a dip in his value. Again, Jahan Dotson, if you go across any website and look at their dynasty rankings, where did he rank before the season versus after the season? It's two different things and in a negative way. So if you are like me and you still believe in the talent, then you can buy low in dynasty. So that's been a lot of the emphasis of this podcast, is buying low on talent, buying low because of the potential for things to change for the better, buying low because you still believe in a player, buying low because we've seen fantasy flashes and good numbers and statistics and things like that. But appreciate you guys if you somehow made it through 30 minutes of me talking and, you know, coughing up some stuff and stumbling on a couple words. But we are plugging content nonstop for all sports here at Fantrax. Make sure you're following the Fantrax socials, P2W Fantasy on Twitter, Nick Script, NFL content lead for Fantrax. We're getting after this shit all off season. Appreciate you guys for checking in. A lot more to come. Stay strapped in.